Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jason Kelly.
And I'm Mike Lynch.
And I'm Michael Barr. And this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports.
All right, guys. The dog days of summer, they are upon us. But it is an Olympic year, after all. But I hate to say it, you wouldn't know it by just anecdotally talking to a lot of people. There's just not that buzz. And that buzz, we've talked a little bit about this, or lack thereof, is really translating into the ratings, or lack thereof. Now, I want to break this down a little bit, because we do need to talk about a much more holistic view of the way people watch and consume things. But if you're just going on the numbers, or about halfway through, average nightly viewership through last Tuesday, down 42%. Yikes. From the 2016 Summer Games. And that's a tough beat, Lynchy. And we've talked about maybe why. Some of it is timing. Some of it is timing as it relates to just time zone. Some of it is we were supposed to be doing this last year. It's not meant to be an Olympic summer. Part of it is people are just wanting to get the heck out of the house while they can. And who knows for how much longer they can. But what do you make of it? And are you watching?
Well, when I was a kid, there was this ice cream parlor called Roland's. And the number one item on the menu was called the kitchen sink. And it was so big and so overwhelming, nobody could fit. I don't think anybody in the history of Roland's ice cream ever finished the kitchen sink. And to me, the Olympics are just too much to consume. There's just so many hours, so many different platforms. Am I paying for an app to watch the men's basketball game? Is it on Peacock? Is it on the is it streaming? Is it on linear television? I don't know. I think that, you know, Rune Arledge and Jim McKay did us all a favor years ago when every night they condensed 12 to 14 hours of Olympic competition into 3 hours. They basically edited it for us and said, here's what you need to know. I just think it's too much for the total consumer. I think it's just overwhelming. It's almost like a tidal wave coming in. It's coming, you can't stop it, and you don't know what to do about it.
I want to pick up on that. But, Bart, tell me what your experience has been.
Well, it's a lot like what Lynchy is saying. I mean, you would watch Franz Klammer back in, 76 or so, and he's, or 80, wherever it was, and he's trying to ski, and he's going through all this. But everything was condensed in that prime time viewing moment. And more importantly, you didn't have social media back then, so you really didn't know who was going to win what, so you could condense it, and you would have 3 hours of great programming. I have to admit, I was catching a few things. I was catching the men's diving when I was watching it, and a shout-out, by the way, to Canada's Cedric Fofana. He just had a disastrous moment, and I just want to say a shout-out to him because you know, you even when you have a moment and it's just bad as all get up, you still try.
Yeah, that was an interesting moment to watch. And so here's my more positive take, which is I think we are at an inflection point when it comes to consumption. And I think we're looking at the ratings and saying people aren't watching this on TV. People aren't watching TV in the same way anymore. And I do think you are having these moments, and you guys both alluded to social media. I think that has totally changed the game. And Lynchy, one of the things that you said about, you know, sort of distilling it down, instead of TV executives deciding what that's going to be, we essentially have Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram, I think, is probably the best iteration of this in many ways. That's how people are consuming this. That's how people are sort of falling in love with some of these athletes and seeing their stories. I think the problem is that the economics have not, it's not just the economics, but the business model hasn't caught up with this yet. And I do wonder whether we're going to look back at this period and maybe even this particular Olympics as a real turning point here, where they just realize that something is changing in terms of the culture, as it were, and we're just not consuming it in the same way that we were. And this was the real wake-up call of, like, by the way, guys, people aren't tuning in. This just isn't the way we used to do it. So I don't know. But if you're in the business of this, Lynchy, I don't know how you pivot in some ways, because, yes, as you said, Comcast is putting this on Peacock, but Peacock is, at least for the moment, kind of an also-ran in the streaming wars. And so do you just have to think about, if you're the IOC, do you start doing deals with Twitter and some of the other social media platforms in order to make this work economically? Because if I'm a broadcaster and I'm looking down the line, there's no way I'm going to pay for this. I don't think I can make money doing it.
Well, look what the National Football League has done. Yeah. They brought in all kinds of different platforms. And then the National Hockey League, with their new deal, they brought in different platforms as well. Major League Baseball is doing something this year as well. They're putting games on Amazon. They're putting some games on YouTube. And perhaps that is the model that the IOC will look at, or NBC will look at, because NBC owns the Olympics now through 2032, I believe. And I think they have to look at and see if this makes sense. However, they did make money in Rio de Janeiro, but I don't. Obviously, they're not going to make much money here. And as they say in the business, there's going to be a lot of make goods going around the next years on NBC.
Yeah, it's that's an interesting idea, that if they have this, do they go and essentially, it's almost like they're going to sublet some of it. It's almost like they're going to go to one of these platforms. And maybe by the time the next Olympics rolls around, there's a platform that hasn't even really been introduced yet that becomes something, some way for people to watch this. So this actually leads to something that I wanted to make sure we talked about, which is John Skipper, who we all know and many of us really admire for what he did with ESPN over the years. He subsequently went to DAZN and was working on that, which is, you know, an interesting sort of media platform for sports. I'm not sure it's taken off in the way that they expected it to. Now he's really investing in a lot of startups he's got, because everyone's got a spec. He's got a spec. This firm, Meadowlark, he gave an interview where he talked about, and this thing just blew up, talk about blowing up on social media. The nut of it was essentially, the Super Bowl at some point in time, probably not next year, probably not in the next 5 years, but is going to be a pay-per-view event. That may be the way we end up watching this and consuming it. Michael Barr, I'm gonna use one of your lines. Your thoughts?
Well, here's my thought. Hell no. I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl on pay-per-view. No. That's what's going to kill the whole thing. The whole point of the Super Bowl is that, one, you can also see the ads, which the ads, that makes news itself. And everybody, you got the Super Bowl parties, and you have this going on, and there's a lot of money that was made during those Super Bowl ads. And now all of a sudden we want to get more greedy, and now we want a pay-per-view for the Super Bowl? Really? Then you better offer me something 50-yard seats, or you better give me some sort of isolated camera to make this worth my while, because I am totally against this.
All right, everybody, seriously, get off his lawn. Like, just get off his lawn. He tried to be nice about it, but you gotta get onto the sidewalk. All right, Lynchy, over to you.
Michael. Ooh, cool that baby down. Cool him off, will you?
I need a cool drink, man.
You remember when cable came in the 80s? Everybody says, oh, I'm not going to pay. Nobody will ever pay for anything that they have been getting for free. No one's going to pay to watch a baseball game when they've been getting it free. Well, guess what? We did pay for it, and we've been paying for it, and we're going to continue to pay for it, and that's just the way the world is. So, would you pay $20 to watch the Super Bowl? Would you pay $100 to watch the Super Bowl? I probably would, because I've paid money to watch fights, which I thought were gigantic ripoffs, most of them. And I said, what did I just pay $99 for? This was horrible. I think the Super Bowl would be good entertainment. And first of all, most people have Super Bowl parties, so when you pass the hat when everybody comes in, it probably costs everybody about $1 to watch it.
Yeah, I got to say, I love your react. I love it when you get hot, Michael Barr. Like, this is, it takes a lot. Because I looked at this candidly and I was like, yeah, this totally makes sense. This is absolutely going to happen. So, but here's the thing. So let's go a level down. I'll throw it back to you, Barr, because I want to get you revved up again. So first of all, what if there were no ads?
So then you get to watch both teams on the sidelines as we have a timeout break. Since 1967, it wasn't even called the Super Bowl back then. It was just, you know, the World Championship back then. It was on two blasted networks. It was on two for free. It was on CBS and it was on NBC. And now, I'm telling you, this is all about greed. No, I am not paying to watch the Super Bowl. That's it.
Right,
I'm done.
Somebody's got to invite Barr over to watch the Super Bowl at their house coming up.
I'm not chipping in a doggone dime.
And he's not going to pay for it, so just make sure you have the right kind of dips and chips.
No.
And, like, get him a recliner, maybe away from other people, because he's coming in fired up. But so, Lynchy, you know, again, like, I feel like this is a natural evolution, and maybe it's because, you know, I've been thinking a lot about, as you guys know, the UFC lately, sort of understanding mm-hmm. their business model. That is strictly pay-per-view. And I will tell you, you know, it's like I think about my kids, my teenagers, who they are coming of age at a point where, different from even the generation just ahead of them, they're very comfortable paying for things. They're very comfortable paying for content. They expect that subscriptions are going to be part of their life. I see the NFL figuring out a way maybe to test this. You know, maybe there are some behind the scenes things that you can get initially, but the ultimate broadcast is for free for a few years. I think Skipper's right. I think this is potentially where we're headed. And part of it is because they have to figure out a different way to make money. I mean, this is in the, just going back to the earlier point, this is in the absence of advertisers being willing to pay, which I think we're not there yet. But I do think this is where the world is headed, Lynchy.
Well, ratings are going down in the Super Bowl, but ad rates continue to rise.
Right.
And let's just say 100 million people watch the Super Bowl at $20 a pop. That's $2 billion right there.
Yeah.
Now that's makes up half the deficit that they lost last year during the COVID year of 2020. I never thought I'd see the day when the Super Bowl would be on cable television,
right?
Like ESPN or TNT or TBS or something like that. So it looks like they're going to skip right over the game being broadcast on cable and go right to pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I do think either I'm not crazy about it. I will not throw a hissy fit like Barr did. I will say, you know, this is the way of the world. And even if the Lions are playing in it, and he says that he's not going to watch the Super Bowl, then he's you know, he's serious.
Yeah,
you will not. Okay, well, you're welcome to come to my.
I will not watch it in my house. I will not watch it with a mouse.
I will pay.
I will not watch this pay-per-view.
Michael Barr, and I will send a car to pick you up, and you can come over to my house, and you can watch it, and we can all have where I like mic buttons,
yep.
And we can have a nice afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. So interesting to see. Listen, I did not expect this to get so hot. I love it. I'm here for it. And now I sort of want it on pay-per-view because I just want to see
one eye bug out.
Exactly. I just want to see Barr lose his mind with what's going on.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
I mean, listen, I think we're seeing this across, you know, a lot of sports trying to figure out how they make money, what their broadcast deals are. I think about our friend Paul Rabil over at the PLL, the Premier Lacrosse League. You know, they've been experimenting with a lot of sort of linear broadcast, cable, you know, individual channels, pay-per-view, insofar as, you know, kind of packages that you can buy. So I do think people are testing this on the edges. And I do think it's part and parcel with what we talked about with Olympic ratings, which is if you're really committed to watching a certain sport or a certain athlete or whatever that may be, you're likely willing to pay. I do think, though, that Lynchy, there are, I mean, not that there, you know, Michael Barr is a unicorn in so many ways. but I do think there are a lot of people out there who I do think you represent a big portion of the viewing public of a certain generation, especially, who are like, this is bananas. Like, I can't even imagine how this would even work. And yet I dare say that there's a cohort that's like, yeah, all right, fine. Yeah, we'll do this.
But why? Listen.
Now keep it. Go.
I want to say about John Skipper, by the way, because he's way smarter in sports than I am. And he's probably right. This is probably the way it's going to go. What I want to know is, well, if the ratings are going down, why do you want to put it on pay-per-view in the first daggone place?
Yeah.
You know, it's half the fun that people watch, the casual fan. There's the person that comes by the house and he or she does not know a lick about football, but boy, they want to see those Budweiser ads. I mean, we do stories every year about the ads.
Right.
And now that's going to be blown up to smithereens. And I'm, look, it's, why? Why?
But I think you hit on it. I mean, I think, as I understand it at least, and Lynchy, keep me honest here, as I understand it, one of the reasons he's saying this is because if viewership does go down, then the ad rates are going to go down. And so then the economics get, and there is an element of greed. You're exactly right. They want to keep making a lot of money on this big game that so many people watch. And so if the ad rates keep going down, they need to offset that in some ways. And in many ways, the entire notion of how we consume the Super Bowl right now through Super Bowl parties and whatnot actually accrues to the benefit here, because that's how, and Lynchy, I think you've had this experience. I think we've all had this experience of like, who's ordering the fight? You know, like we're going over to somebody's house and, you know, whatever that cost is going to be, you know, they're going to eat it and I'm going to bring my guacamole and, you know, Barr's going to bring his, I'm trying to think what it would be in Pennsylvania.
Blindfold.
What's the Pennsylvania beer? I just had it.
I know. Give me a moment. It'll come to me.
Anyway, so you know, you bring some beers over. You know, Lynchy has that nine bean salad that he's so good at making, and you know, the dip that everybody loves. But you know, that's how we consume it. So I think it's a fascinating thing to explore, and you're right. Don't sleep on John Skipper, because he knows what he's talking about.
I'm sorry. And I know, look, yes, I'm
Yingling,
hot as
that's
all
what
good.
I was
yes,
trying
Yingling,
to think of. Yingling.
Thank you. That's what it was. It's one thing if you're trying to see a fight, because it's, you know, okay, you want to see this fight, blah, 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 blah. The Super Bowl is more than just a game. It has become an icon in our society. It has become a way that we just live. The casual fan knows the Super Bowl.
Right.
And if you're a casual fan, why will they pay for this? I don't understand it, and you're going to blow the whole thing up. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, to be determined. I mean, we'll see if John Skipper is right, and, you know, Michael Barr is going to have some things to say. Already
I'm in, bars out. Simple as that. Right?
Yeah.
Spoken like a Patriot fan, I tell you.
All right. So this is also the time of year where we see a lot of movement in terms of players, you know, signing, not signing. We had the NBA draft last week. Not nearly, I have to say, as exciting as some of the previous few drafts, because there just wasn't this like blockbuster star like a Zion or someone coming out, even Anthony Edwards, you know, coming out of Georgia. There was nobody who you really, other than Cunningham, who people were really excited about. But there is some movement afoot, it feels like. And Kawhi Leonard, he, of course, one of the best known players in the league right now, an NBA champion a few years back with the Toronto Raptors, moved out to LA to play for the Clippers. The Clippers haven't been everything that I think their owner, Steve Ballmer, hoped that they would be, at least in terms of moving along the playoffs, a pretty early exit this year. Kawhi Leonard may be the Kevin Durant of this latest round, because he turned down his player option for the Clippers, $36 million. He's going to be a free agent. this is pro basketball at this point, Lynchy. I mean, I don't know where he ends up going. I know there's a lot of speculation, but the fact that he looks like he's not going to stay just is not that surprising.
He can stay if he wants. He can sign a four-year, $176 million deal, which would net him a gross $44 million a year. But, you know, it bothers me about the league is that the players almost, it's like picking up sides down at the playground. Look what happened in Brooklyn. Look what happened in Miami when LeBron went down there. Look what happened in Los Angeles when...
still happening in Los Angeles to the Lakers, right? Yeah. I mean, with Westbrook and all that happening. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, we can pick up us. Basically, we're going to buck up and pick sides, and you know the strong will survive. If it weren't for some injuries or half the size of a sneaker shoe on Kevin Durant, who knows? The Nets might have been in the NBA Finals.
Well, that's a really interesting point. I'm glad you brought that up because that's what I was thinking, that you know this notion of like, oh, these super teams don't work. It's like, well, that super team really came very, very close to to working. And I think it's safe to say that if the Nets got in, they would have been very competitive in that final and might have taken the crown instead of the Bucks. And of course, now you have the storyline by dint of that like large sneaker being the difference. You have this storyline of, well, the Bucks did it the right way, and you know they built this team and they had a superstar, but then they sort of grew up this team around him. I don't think we have seen the last of these super teams, and so where Kawhi goes next, I think, will have a big impact on how we continue to think about that. And I know, Barr, we've talked about this before, this notion that Lynchy alluded to, that you know you don't have these franchise players the way that you used to. That's for sure. I mean, and the NBA seems to be the leading league, for better or worse, when it comes to kind of assembling and reassembling and sort of the playground approach, as Lynchy said.
In the old days, the players went where the owners told them they were going to go if they were going to be traded. There was none of this, hey, but there was none of that. It was like, okay, it's been real, see you later. And now, obviously, the players have a lot of say about what they're going to do. And I think that has evolved big time in the game. And you know my motto is like, if you're an athlete, get as much money as you can while you can. And I think that's part of why Kawhi Leonard is doing this.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see where he ends up. I mean, obviously he's hurt right now, so we don't know exactly when he'll be back. And so that figures into the economics and the business plan, as it were, of whatever team's going to pick him up. And who knows? Maybe he ends up staying with the Clippers. You know, again, don't underestimate that ownership group and obviously some of the power of the L.A. market, et cetera, et cetera. But certainly one to keep an eye on. Speaking of trades, as we wrap up here, MLB last week, it was hard to keep up, Lynchy. And the one story that really jumped out to me was the Nationals being like, all right, we're done. Goodbye. Like, get out. Like, see, who wants this guy? Who wants this guy? I mean, you know, the Dodgers get stronger and the Nationals really just hung it up. Really amazing to watch. I'm not sure anybody predicted the ferocity of that.
Well, a lot of people will say, what are they doing? They're only six and a half games out of first place. But most of the people that they traded were contracts that were expiring.
Yeah.
In fact, the 16 of the 21 people that moved around had contracts expiring from Washington. The Cubs had 11 of them with expiring contracts. The thing that really dazzled me, though, was that when I looked at all these names, I said, wow, a couple of guys are going to the Hall of Fame. Some of these guys are all-stars. I looked it up. 9 guys who were traded by the trading deadline played in this year's All-Star game.
Wow.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
That's amazing. That's a great stat.
9. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of movement, and we'll see what sort of difference it makes down the stretch. I mean, obviously, here in the New York area, there's a lot of emphasis on what's going on in Stevie Cohen land. I was with some Mets fans over the weekend, and, you know, they, as much as Mets fans can be, sort of cautiously optimistic about some of the moves they're making, ready for their hearts to be broken all over again. I have to say, one of my favorite current gifts to people is the terrific book. We had the author on a few months ago, So Many Ways to Lose. It's such a great read. And any Mets fan that I either tell about it or give it to, as soon as they even look at it or start reading, they go, yeah, that's about right. Yeah. That checks out. That checks out. But yeah, a lot of good baseball still to come, obviously, but it was bananas to watch, to say the least.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. I'm Michael Barr, and I'm still mad as hell on Twitter at Big Barr Sports.
The invitation will always be there for Michael Barr. You can come watch the Super Bowl with Lynchy anytime. We can never have enough mics in the house. And I'm Mike Lynch. You can follow me at Lynchy WCVB.
And find me at Jason Kelly News. I think I want Barr to come over to my house, but I'm not so sure. I think it'll be okay, but I'm going to tread lightly if I get anywhere near his lawn. We're here each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday exploring the world of money and sports.
Daddy, there's an old man in the chair yelling. Get him out of here. You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio around the world and online wherever you get your podcasts.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for the Future Investor Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.